The views and opinions expressed during this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cox Media Group, Ohio.
This hour is sponsored by SimTrainer.
This is WHIO's consumer warrior, Clark Howard. Beware scam artists in Dayton. I'll find you out.
This is WHIO meteorologist Kirsty Zontini. If weather breaks this hour, we will break it.
And you're listening to an Ask the Expert weekend on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to the Saturday afternoon broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. I'm Jeff Pedro, in with Mark Avery, and we're from SimTrainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com. You can call us at the range at 937-293-3914, or you can stop down at the range located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from DP&L and Moraine, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you anything related to firearms, whether it's selecting a gun, taking a class, getting involved in competitive or recreational shooting, whatever your need might be, we'd be more than glad to talk with you. As many of you know, this is our last show before going off the air due to being preempted by UD football for the next several weeks, with the exception of October 13th. And I have to tell you that I'm kind of emotionally and mentally drained because I've got a couple guests in the studio. The first one I'm going to introduce is Dave Williams, who's been here before. Dave is a very close friend, guest instructor at Sim Trainer, and retired police officer from the city of Dayton. But he and I just attended a pretty intense seminar. I went last night and today. Dave, with my invitation, came today. And it was just loaded with lots and lots of information. It was Jimmy Meeks' Sheepdog Seminar, where he brings in Dave Grossman from the Bulletproof Mind. Many of you know Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who's delivered many presentations in this area. He also brought Carl Chin, who's another guest today in the studio, from the Faith-Based Security Network, and Greg Stevens, who was the police officer that was on duty and brought the situation in Garland, Texas, in May of 2015 to a successful ending, where he shot down two armed gunmen who arrived at an event with an intention of wreaking havoc and wreaking terror on the people who attended that event. But that single officer with a handgun took down two bad guys with rifles, and we'll talk more about that. But I have to tell you, Dave, I don't think there was more than 5 or 10 seconds that went by that we weren't looking at each other going, wow, and the information was just overwhelming.
Yeah, it was really an interesting group of people to meet there. The information was very interesting, and to be honest, it was pretty inspiring.
Yeah, that, I think that's the biggest thing. When we talk about the inspiration, I think the inspiration that there are only certain people who can do what God intends for us sheepdogs to do, and the people who do that, they take on a big responsibility. There's a lot of resultant responsibilities that go along with you taking on the responsibility to be a sheepdog. And I want to introduce the audience to Carl Chin. Carl was one of the presenters. Again, he's from Faith-Based Security Network. First of all, Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Carl, what I'd like to do is start off just by talking. I know you've been working with Jimmy and Dave for some time now. What's kind of the main theme or the main purpose for what you do going around the country, teaching people what you teach them?
Well, our main audience is churches and faith-based organizations. Traditionally, churches and faith-based organizations have been behind others in the years because they're more of a soft target. They've been late coming to the game in recognizing that the name of a particular denomination over their door and a cross on top of their roof doesn't really protect them.
You know, one of the things that was presented there is that it's kind of going unnoticed. We've done a lot of talk, justifiably so, about violence in the schools, but we've kind of overlooked violence in churches. And I know you're a statistician. You've been gathering a lot of data over the last several years, so much so that you've been keeping up on the data. It's hard to stay up to date. And I think they said you're almost a half year behind or so in updating your information. But give us an idea, the difference in the numbers between incidents at schools versus incidents in faith-based communities.
Well, I appreciate the question, Jeff. Yeah, my focus is on faith-based organizations, and I began in January of 1999 tracking every deadly force incident I could find. And I as I looked for a term to describe what I was seeing in the faith-based organizations, the most extreme violence was in fact something that I started cataloging as deadly force incidents. That meant that it either had real homicide or the potential for homicide. Some of it non-negligent homicide, some of it was bad guy choosing a church ground as his last stand against law enforcement, and there's a lot of suicide as well. So when I began seeing this, I've started tracking it, and at the end of 2017, I'd tracked just over 1,700 deadly force incidents in faith-based organizations across the United States.
Wow, when you think about that, 1,700 incidents at churches, places
That's right.
people go to on weekends, during the week, whatever the time is, where they think they can seek refuge, pray to their God. One of the themes that came up is that God never promised us that every place we go, including churches, is going to be a safe place. And one of the main themes of this seminar was that there are those among the congregations that God selects and or individuals rise to the occasion to take on that responsibility.
That's right.
Is that something
that's
that
exactly
seen?
Right, Jeff. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you want the whole congregation armed, or you want the whole school armed, or you want all the teachers armed. That, nobody's saying that. We're saying pick a few people who have protection in their DNA, get them the tools and the training they need to do it right.
You know, when we talk about the attacks in the churches, incidents that have occurred in churches versus schools, what are some of the common threads or some of the common themes that you found relative to the perpetrator, the incidents, whatever the case might be?
Well, I suppose the most common theme is the fact that it exists so often, and most of the population is in denial as to how often it happens. And of the 1,700 deadly force incidents that I've tracked in churches, over 400 of those had non-negligent homicide associated with them, where there was actually a murder event that took place.
And very little of this actually makes it into the national media,
into
certainly.
The mainstream news, it's very difficult to see it in the mainstream news, because to talk about churches is not popular until you have 26 killed at one time, and then it becomes a main news media thing. Or when it's nine people gathered together in Charleston, it becomes a main news item. But outside of those things, you got to really dig to find them.
Yeah, and they have other things about a particular situation that causes the media to focus on it, and they often focus on things other than the event that actually happened.
That's exactly
and
right.
What needed to be done.
You know, another thing you mentioned that was another theme that ran through the training was the denial. Denial mm-hmm. of people who should know better. Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Colonel Grossman said that, I have predicted incidents, I've predicted trends, I've shared that with authorities, I've shared that with people who are in positions to make decisions, but they're in such denial, they refuse to act in any way, shape, or form. Not only to take minimal measures, some of them take no measures.
That's
some of them
exactly
take
right.
kind of just a gesture, I'm going to say a gesture measure, where it just makes them feel good that they did
symbolic.
Something. Symbolic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if there's anything you hate to be right about, you know, that's just devastating.
Boy,
to know you're right about
that. Truth, you hit a dead ringer there, Mark. I got my first call. I'm interviewed by media a lot. And I got my first call on Sutherland Springs 2 hours after it broke on the news. And at the time, all we knew was there were 12 people dead, which set a new record. And this reporter that called me, she called and she first asked, are you following Sutherland Springs? And I said, well, sure I am. She said, what's your feeling on it? And I told her, I said, I've never so bad wanted to be wrong in my message, but we're not.
Yeah. What do you think is the main motivation behind the denials? The people that should know better, have the ability to make decisions, why are they not doing things to protect their congregations?
You know, it's a combination of things, Jeff. For some people, it goes against their agenda to talk about violence because they can't address the reality of violence without addressing the reality that protection is up to the individual. It's not up to the government. We don't look to people around us to protect us. Now, some people do, and that's what gets them in trouble. And I know every law enforcement officer out there would give his right arm to be at an incident so he could stop it. But the truth of the matter is, most of the time, they're going to get there to do an investigation. They're not going to get there to stop it. So a lot of people are in denial because the facts go against their personal agenda, whatever that may be. anti-gun, anti-protection, big government, what, you know, choose your flavor. And other people are in denial just because it hasn't happened to them and they think it won't happen here. And you know, one thing I tell churches often is I talk to them about the sixth chapter of Matthew where Christ told us not to worry about what we eat, drink, or wear. And I point out to them, I've never met anybody yet that sits up in the morning and clothes float down on them out of heaven. And they get this manna thrown on their tongue when they walk down the steps and get a heavenly mist sprayed in their face to satisfy their hydration. No, we have to be intentional about the things we procure and manage to eat, drink, and wear. Well, safety and security, same thing. Do I believe God protects us? Absolutely, I do. We live in the greatest country on earth, and I believe he still protects this country. But that doesn't mean we don't need a military. When I pray, my wife and I have 16 grandchildren and one in the hopper. When those kids are going somewhere in their family vehicle, of course I pray over that trip. But I also want my sons and my sons-in-laws to be aware and be a defensive drivers.
And make sure the vehicle is in good running condition and that everything works
seat
and
belted,
everybody's trained properly
right.
And so forth.
Yeah, that was another issue that was brought up. In addition, which kind of reinforced what you're saying, God gives the protectors and the warriors the courage and the motivation to do what they do.
That's
and
right.
It's up to them. That's how God protects us. He mm-hmm. gives people the capabilities to do those sorts of things. Dave, as a career law enforcement officer, you know, we talk about us being, you know, we were out in the front line and doing those sorts of things. Did you ever meet with any resistance? And I know it's been several years removed since you were last on the street or in doing those decisions, but I don't think the philosophy's changed. When incident would happen, were there still people in denial back then?
Oh, absolutely. I think the problem is that if you present people with a problem, their concern is that if you recognize the problem, then they have to come up with a solution. And that's where your problem is. People don't want to put in the work.
Yeah, I think that's played out in like Chicago.
Sure.
There are people who've been aware of that problem for many years. It's now accelerating to unbelievably ridiculous levels as far as violence and homicide rates in Chicago. And there are people who know what's going on. They even know the causes. They've seen ways that it can probably be nipped in the bud, but because they're not in that particular mindset, they're not willing to take the next step. That's starting to change, though, recently. I've seen some, because they know their political careers hinge on them doing something substantive about it, they're starting to at least pay a little bit more watch, take a little bit more watchful approach with the hopefully getting a little bit more aggressive in the way they deal with it.
Well, you can only deny for so long.
Absolutely, yeah. And unfortunately, though, that goes on and it goes on. It goes on from generation to generation. We've let politics guide much of the decision-making relative to all of these. And the politics of churches, the politics of schools also guide the decisions of the decision-makers. And that's the unfortunate reality. But when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about some more of the dynamics of the great seminar we went to. Make sure that you take the opportunity to check out our website because we have links to the seminar and to the materials. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be launching our response to active killer training. And we're going to be doing a lot of that sort of thing over the next several months.
All right, we are going to take our first break for the hour, but if you'd like to be part of the show, give us a call at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Dayton and Springfield Station for 24-hour news, weather, and traffic, and our Ask the Expert weekends, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Hey everyone, Nancy here with my great friend Christian Hahn of Joseph Airport Toyota Hyundai. You know, lots of folks are used to back-to-school sales, but for you guys, you have the biggest one of the year right now, right?
That's right. It's the clearance sale of all 2018s and pre-owned because we want to freshen up our inventory. We have cars coming in and out every day. It's going to be an awesome month to buy a car at Joseph Airport Toyota and Hyundai. Now, our websites, josephairporttoyota.com and airhyundai.com, you can visit that or you can come to our showroom. We're located right across from the airport, very easy to get to. But it's a big sale. You're going to get great pricing. Before you buy a new Toyota or Hyundai anywhere else, visit our websites, check us out, give us a contact, a call, an email, whatever you want to do. But you're going to get a great deal at josephairporttoyota.com and airhyundai.com during our summer clearance sale on all 2018s.
And more than likely, what will you tell them when they come in to shop?
Yes!
For the next minute, try and not blink. The more you think about it, the more difficult it is to not. Just think, a minute ago, blinking was the last thing on your mind, and now it's all you can think about because of this radio commercial. That's the power of radio. Learn how you can take your business to the next level at MediaWorks, presented by Cox Media Group Ohio, and discover what the city's largest multimedia platforms can achieve for your business. Bring your message to millions of your potential customers. Be heard, be seen, get connected. Register today for your free seminar from September 17th through September 21st. Text CMG to 47464 or visit ohiomediaworks.com/one. Oh, you can blink now, by the way.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Menards has the blocks you need to create your ideal outdoor space. Host your guests on a new patio. 12-inch smooth patio blocks come in red or gray and are 88 cents each after sale price and 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through August 25th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
If you served in the military, you may be eligible for health care benefits at the Dayton VA Medical Center. These are benefits you've already earned through your military service. Regardless of when or where you served, you may be eligible. To apply, just call us at 937-956-0770. Visit our website at dayton.va.gov or just walk into the Dayton VA Medical Center and ask for assistance at the front desk. The Dayton VA Medical Center. You served us. Now let us serve you.
For today, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers and storms that will continue into the early evening hours. By the time we get a little bit later into the evening, things should begin to calm down. Now for tomorrow, a little bit more sunshine out there, but temperatures are really climbing, 88 degrees for the high and muggy. I'm meteorologist Jesse Mag on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
It's our Ask the Experts weekend on the Miami Valley radio station with breaking news, weather, and traffic. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and if you want to get in on today's show, please give us a call here at the studio at 457-1290. We're talking in the studio with Carl Chin from the Faith-Based Security Network. Dave Williams and I just came back from a seminar where Lieutenant Grossman and Jimmy Meeks delivered some very powerful information about the dynamics of violence in faith-based organizations, in schools, and for that matter, around the country. Carl, I want to just talk a little bit about something that one of the main themes that was presented in the seminar was that law and order seems to be under attack in the United States in a variety of different ways, and there's some pretty good evidence pointing to the fact that the lack of lawlessness contributes to violence. And I think over the last 3 years in particular, we've seen notable increases. Is that kind of the same thing you
see? I would absolutely agree with that. A great percentage of our culture has lost all respect for law enforcement and for the rule of law. And because of that, we're seeing an uprising, and it's not a healthy uprising.
You know, the things that are happening at the national, the state, and the local levels, they're very perplexing. As a career law enforcement officer, I'm ashamed to hear things that I hear reported, even though a lot of this stuff is being played out in the court of public opinion. Some of the behind-the-scenes information that I know that I either get through other sources or that I can just surmise from the way things are reported, it concerns me when you have people like the director of the FBI, executive director of the FBI, several agents in charge of lead investigations, congressmen who are being charged with criminal activity, the processes involved in some of the cases just they kind of go against in many regards the protocols that I was used to. Dave and I think we've had this discussion before, and I know that you've probably had the same discussion with others where we believed in our system of justice. There were cases that we made and we thought we had a good case, and at suppression hearing, a judge made a determination that we didn't just get it over the level of proof needed to proceed. And then when we went to trial, weren't able to establish proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And we lost, but we licked our wounds and we went out and we just tried to do it better.
That's right.
And that's how the system's supposed to work. We have a system of justice. There's certain checks and balances in place, but I think things have been turned upside down, and that has contributed to a perception among a large member or segment of the community, and I think a growing segment of the community, that just because things are not so right at the top, that that's giving them the window they need to kind of move forward and be more aggressive in their pursuits of criminal activity. Do you see that as being
I do, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I think we've forgotten so quick is the last administration, one of the first comments to come out of the previous White House administration is that the law enforcement had acted stupidly. Well, that kind of set up the scene for the next 8 years under that administration. And it set up the foundation for people to start disrespecting law enforcement. There were a lot of people that knew about that statement and agreed with it who didn't know that the comment was stupid, and he made somewhat of restitutions for that. But the previous administration set us down this path of disrespect of law enforcement. The Ferguson effect was part of the wave. It wasn't where it started.
Right.
It started before that.
There's no doubt. And then, of course, closer to home, the Dallas incident, people don't realize that was just an extension of the lawlessness.
That's
the
exactly
those
right.
Five law enforcement officers from a secluded position where they basically picked them off from a high point and you know, wreaked havoc on that community until the situation was brought to a resolution by some heroic acts of some additional police officers who responded to the scene. But around the country, we've seen that. We've seen an increase in the rate of law enforcement officers being assaulted and killed in the line of duty. We see more and more incidents of fleeing the police, fighting the police, and then people challenging the police, even when they're 100% right, clear and unequivocal, but there's just that general belief that, well, since that's kind of the climate, let's move in that direction. It's creating problems.
That's right. Headlines sell, and I saw a headline just yesterday said, video shows police officer hitting somebody with a baton. Well, what did you think it's for? I mean, you know, it's a less lethal means of driving home compliance. And in another situation just yesterday, a police officer had trouble subduing a robbery suspect because people were standing around videoing as he's fighting this guy who's trying to get his weapon. And he finally had to yell, "Will you put your cell phones down and somebody help me?" They were hoping to get a cop get shot
right.
on video.
Right.
They were hoping for it.
And Dave, you know, and I'm imagining it was the same in Dayton as it was in Kettering, when the initial stages of video and law enforcement cruiser cams and that came about, there was kind of feelings on both ways. And I have to admit, I was back and forth on it. I think it has the potential to tell the truth, but the problem with video, it doesn't tell the total picture. You can't control for all the variables in a confrontation leading up to the confrontation and the aftermath just by looking at a video.
Absolutely. You need to know the full context of what happened. And, you know, video and audio can be edited, and we've seen that in any number of things. So if you don't know the full story of anything, then you don't know the full story.
Exactly. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk more about this and many other topics.
We do want to make sure that people understand that we're only going to be here for this week. So if you have a question you'd like to ask, feel free to call into the studio at 457-1290. We'll try to get your call on the air before we run out and disappear for a while as the football takes over. And again, as Jeff mentioned earlier, we'll be back on the air on October 12th for one show, and then we'll be back in November, depending on when basketball starts up. So be free to call the studio at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
It's an Ask the Experts weekend on Dayton and Springfield's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
You got it, WHIO, Radio 1290.
This is the station Dayton turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. WHIO Dayton Springfield. Your news starts now. Depend on it.
Fox News Radio, I'm Joe Chiro. Tropical Storm Lane is weakening, but there are still dangers of heavy rain and flash flooding across parts of Hawaii. The east side of the Big Island has taken the brunt of the storm.
Some places, 47 inches of rain is what has been measured up in one of the mountainsides. Down in Hilo, 35 inches of rain. That puts it as one of the top five rain-producing storms in U.S. history.
Fox's Adam Housley in Maui. Protesters and counter-protesters gathering on the campus of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where the so-called Silent Sam Confederate Monument was toppled earlier this week. At least five people have been arrested. In Bulgaria, a tourist bus flipped over, killing 15 people and injuring 27 others. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Now the three big things you need to know. The humidity is back across the Miami Valley. Expect partly to mostly cloudy skies with scattered showers and storms this afternoon. A high of 82. Your Storm Center 7 forecast is coming up. Dayton cops are looking for suspects in a late-night robbery that turned into a shooting at the Everyday Food Mart on Linden Avenue just before 11 o'clock last night. And the latest on a University of Dayton professor attack on campus. We've learned that a 29-year-old junior engineering student has been charged in the incident. We do not have the student's identity. I'm John Tisdale, WHIO Continuing News.
Sim Trainer is the Dayton area's premier indoor shooting range and firearms training facility. Sim Trainer is a members-only facility featuring 10 individual shooting stalls and a mechanical target retrieval system. Their range is also climate controlled for your year-round comfort. Sim Trainer offers both pay-as-you-go and year-long individual and family memberships. They're also proud to offer reduced-rate memberships for law enforcement and military. Need training? Sim Trainer holds unique and innovative firearms training courses, including the award-winning First Shots program, a concealed carry course, and an advanced five-course handgun series. Sim Trainer is open Monday through Sunday. Check the website, sim-trainer.com, to find out more or call 293-3914. Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's premier indoor shooting range and firearms training facility, 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, just across from DPNL. Online at sim-trainer.com.
Find new roads to savings at Dave Kale Chevrolet and Chevy Trucks. The intersection of Routes 4 and 29 in Mechanicsburg is the place you'll find dependable transportation. Great deals, no doubt, every day. For a young family member driving to and from school, for a person who spends a lot of time working on the road, or a parent who doubles as a shuttle service, you'll always find a great deal at Dave Kale Chevrolet and Chevy Trucks. Come see us and discover a big city selection of trucks, cars, vans, and SUVs. Dave Kale specializes in hard-to-find trucks. Make summer driving a pleasure with a vehicle you'll treasure. Dave says you'll always get a warm reception at his dealership.
We urge you to take the easy country drive where you'll find no hassles, minimum time at the dealership, plus our great selection of GM-certified used vehicles.
Find new roads to Dave Kale Chevrolet and Chevy Trucks, Routes 4 and 29 in Mechanicsburg. Visit their website, DaveKehlChevrolet.com. Call 1-800-886-1000 to get started. For over 30 years, the place to save is Dave Kale's Chevrolet.
For today, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers and storms that will continue into the early evening hours. By the time we get a little bit later into the evening, things should begin to calm down. Now for tomorrow, a little bit more sunshine out there, but temperatures are really climbing, 88 degrees for the high and muggy. I'm meteorologist Jesse Mag on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
This is Clark Howard. If breaking news happens, we break in anytime.
WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and if you want to get in on today's show, please call us here at the studio at 457-1290. A couple of housekeeping issues I want to take care of. First thing, I want to remind our listeners that we have our M4 introduction to the M4 rifle class on Monday night from 6 to 10. For those of you that are interested in purchasing an M4 rifle, or you just recently purchased one and you don't have a whole lot of familiarization with it, come to that class, and my promise to you is that after 4 hours, we'll be able to take you through assembly, disassembly, know all the parts, be able to shoot it, be able to unload it, be able to load it, handle malfunctions, the whole nine yards, and shoot it proficiently. It's the easiest class that I teach. I've told people many times, and they're like, wow, it seems like a pretty complicated weapon system. It's not very complicated. I love teaching it, so if you want to get in that class, $100 will get you into class. Actually, we're running the BOGO. That's part of the BOGO special this month. If you and a friend want to come, it's buy one, get one free. So you both come for $100. So if you're thinking about doing it, there's no better motivation than doing it now. So call down to the range and get yourself registered for class on Monday night, 6 to 10.
And if you need to rent a gun because you don't have one of your own, we have those available also. So that's you buy the ammo there at the range. You can get the gun at the range, and it's a super deal to get 2-for-1.
The other thing I want to remind our listeners is that a week from this coming Thursday, which I believe is around the 9th, is the 9th of September, our handgun 1-5 series will be starting up again. We had several people over the summer who took advantage of it. We're offering it every 2 months instead of every 3 months now. So if you're interested in getting involved in our advanced handgun training, again, getting you to the point where you feel totally confident and comfortable with the use of your firearm, for those of you that are interested in rapid response to active killer training, our handgun 1-5 series is the core of that. Whether you take it as part of the condensed class or you take the 1-5 classes throughout, it is modular, and we will give you credit for that. So either way, you're going to get the same amount of training. So I encourage you to do so. Remember, with that series, it's $100 per class. It's only $85. If you're a member, you get a 15% discount. If you take the entire class, it's $425. And you have a year from the first day you enroll to complete the five class series.
And we also want to talk about a first aid class that we've got on the September 1st. That's Saturday, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. We've talked about that before.
That's 1-4, I believe.
Oh, it's okay.
Or 1-5, I believe.
I'm sorry, you're right.
It's 1-5 p.m.
Both dates are on the website, so look at the right one, which is the one at the top.
Yeah.
1-5 p.m. And we'll have it's an outstanding class. So you get a kit to go with it and the instruction on how to use it. It's a fantastic class. I talked about it quite a bit last week. But if you have not had advanced trauma, how to stop bleeding in an emergency situation, this is a great class. And Dr. Springer does a fantastic job with it.
Absolutely. Brian's an emergency room attending physician, and he actually does it on a daily basis. And he does a great job with the class, and we want to give you a chance to come to that class and learn what you need to learn. Because one of the incidents to be learned after Las Vegas incident was that there were several people, they estimate between 12 and 15 people, whose lives could have been saved had people known how to render immediate emergency first aid and or if they'd have had equipment like tourniquets to stop bleeding. So in mass casualty situations, learning basic CPR isn't always going to be the best course of action. Being able to take more aggressive means to secure somebody's well-being and at least stabilize them until emergency services can get there on the scene is going to be the better operation better course of action.
And there were also many whose lives were saved because there were people who did know how to take care of that, and they got to the hospital still alive because somebody was able to at least stop the bleeding.
And again, that class is a week from today. Christmas is literally only 4 months away now. 5 months away. So it's right. I told you people, you better go down to the range and get your Christmas presents, because if you wait until the Thanksgiving Day or Black Friday sale, stuff's going to be gone already. So get down there and get your Christmas shopping done.
Jeff, go ahead.
I want to just continue a little bit here, this next segment. This next segment, I want to talk to Carl about an incident. We've been talking about violence in churches. And unfortunately for him in one regard, but then fortunately for the rest of the congregation, he was in the middle of an incident that went down when he and his security team got some advanced knowledge of a potential threat to the New Life Church out in Colorado Springs. Incident occurred back almost 11 years ago now, December 9th of 2007. Carl, I want to give you a couple of minutes just to talk to our audience about what happened there briefly and your response and how the incident was resolved.
All right. Well, first of all, was the fact that New Life Church listened 2 years before that and put intentional plans into place. We had a team functioning together for 2 years, a little over 2 years by the time a killer came through our doors. And that particular killer killed two girls in our parking lot, then came on into the church shooting. And we'd had extra duty law enforcement there that day. Our extra duty law enforcement left at 1 p.m. And this knucklehead had started his attack at about 1:03, right after law enforcement left. threw out his first smoke bomb right where one of those law enforcement vehicles had been sitting. And then a few minutes after he threw out the two smoke bombs, he came in shooting, and that was after he'd killed two girls in the parking lot. And four of us met him in the hallway. Two of us were armed, and two were unarmed, and the two who were unarmed were first to him. They were on the same floor he was when he came in shooting. And those two unarmed guys cleared a hallway in a matter of seconds while Gene and I, who were both armed, were heading towards the gunfire. These two unarmed guys cleared the hallway. And
specify what you mean to the audience about cleared the hallway.
The hallway was full of kids. We our church at the time was running about 7,000 on any Sunday. This was after the main service was over, so we estimate we had about 700 people left on campus. The shooter was familiar with our campus, and I don't even like to call him a shooter. He was a killer. He was very familiar with our campus. He'd been there 2 years earlier. He hated us because his mother had been inspired to destroy his video games. He had several violent video games, and his mom had been inspired by a service there when he was with her to destroy his video games. We had three primary entries, North Main Entry, South Main Entry, and the East Children's Entry. He popped smoke at the two North and South Main Entries, and then he came in shooting through the Children's Entry.
And how'd that situation get resolved?
Well, because the two men cleared that hallway, that jam-packed hallway, we counted 27 bullet holes in the walls, and not one child was hurt inside the building. And then within 60 feet of him coming in is when I was lined up about 100 yards down from him, and Gina Somm, a lady that had been with our team for just 3 weeks, this was her third week there, blindsided him from his left side from a distance of about 25 yards, and she had a Beretta 9mm. He had a AR-15 with an modified upper. He was shooting 6.8mm, which is similar to a 270 Winchester. And had 1,400 rounds of ammunition in his backpack, two more handguns, a lot more smoke bombs. And when he started getting hit, she hit him at least in both legs. And then he did the thing these cowards typically do. He stuck the gun in the roof of his own mouth and pulled the trigger.
Well, a couple lessons there. You had the team in place. You had training. I want to talk a little bit about, you guys even went so far as to have done some intelligence. I know when these teams get together, they kind of leave that out. The intelligence, I think, was a factor in this particular incident. I'll let you talk about that in just a minute. But I wanted to mention, in addition, you had people who were ready, willing, and capable. And I think those are three critical factors. You had those two heroic security personnel who were unarmed, who knew they couldn't do much by way of stopping the shooter, but they could at least get the target-rich environment thinned out so the people who had the guns could do their job. They acted heroically. They should be commended. I'm sure
Absolutely.
They were for their actions. And then you and the other security team members could move in place, and she stopped them. Another case where a good person who's ready, willing, and capable with a gun could stop a bad person, even though the bad guy had a gun that some people say is overwhelming and much more powerful, and there's not much of a chance of something like that happening.
Gene had a Beretta 9mm up against a Bushmaster modified to 6.8mm with 30-round mags.
Yeah.
And you know, there again, it's a good situation to look at and say it's not always the size of the gun.
That's
it's
right.
The size of the heart.
Size of the heart. That's so critical. And then the other thing that you mentioned, just like we talk about successful outcomes, we say if you get them to flee the target-rich environment and the police pursue them, they force a hostage situation, then the police come in and they negotiate a resolution. You neutralize the threat, and people say, well, what do you mean by neutralize the threat? You shoot them and or in the process you kill them. Mm-hmm. Those are successful outcomes. Mm-hmm. Or in this case, you force them to commit suicide because many of them, they're cowards. They realize that their game is over, that they're going to fail. Their fear of failure, they're not really fear of being shot, but their fear of failure because they can't complete what they planned on doing, and that was to kill a whole bunch of kids and then maybe do it afterward. But once he got shot, he realized it wasn't the case, put the gun on himself, so like so many of them do, and ended it. That's an okay resolution to
Absolutely.
A situation
Perfectly
like this.
Perfectly acceptable outcome.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people who don't understand that when I use the term successful outcome and describe that as one. If the bad guy commits suicide and he does not shoot and or injure or kill any of the innocent people, that's a good outcome.
Well, one of the things that I often mention in the class is if you have to use your firearm in a deadly force situation, you're not the one who decided someone is going to die today. That decision was made by the bad guy. All you get to choose is whether it's you or that other innocent person. And if you choose to stop the threat, once that threat is stopped, then other people don't get hurt. That's a tough decision for some people to get their brains around, that it is okay to take out someone's life when that person is a threat and is doing evil things. If you don't get to choose that bad things are or are not going to happen, you only get to choose how you deal with it. Mm-hmm. And that's really important for people to understand when they start thinking about, I'm going to be carrying deadly force in order to defend myself or someone else. I also have to be ready to use it.
Mm-hmm. Carl, you mentioned two other things in the presentation that I thought were noteworthy. There were two things, in addition to all the training, the preparation, the meetings that your team did. First of all, you prayed before the event. Mm-hmm. You prayed for God's intervention to mm-hmm. make you be able to do the things you're tasked with doing. And also, prior to this event, you guys engaged in intelligence gathering, which was likely a factor in the preparation that you guys had for this particular event. I heard you mention in the seminar that you had extra law enforcement on premises because of the potentiality.
We had extra law enforcement on the premises every Sunday.
Okay, it was every Sunday. But wasn't there some prior incident that occurred somewhere else that at least kind of raised your level of expectation mm-hmm. that this crazy guy might be coming your way?
Yes, that is correct. We began doing threat intelligence for the ministry back in 2006. Because our senior pastor at the time, we were the largest church in Colorado. We were running 14,000 every weekend, and our senior pastor fell to moral failure. Turned out that he was dabbling in gay sex and methamphetamine use, and so that led to a quick demise of our senior pastor at the time in 2006. And one of the things that came out of that is we started being protested by everybody. Westboro Baptist showed up to say we were too gay. Soul Force showed up to say we weren't gay enough. And everybody in between, with some kind of axe to grind, wanted to show up and carry their sign with our church in the background and make the 10 o'clock news. So because of what we'd been through, I was asked to start doing a threat intelligence program for the ministry so we would know. It started around trying to figure out what protesters are going to be here. But by December of 2007, we were also dealing with restraining orders and different things of that nature. And I would always watch the news and saw on the news that day where a killer had attacked YWAM 77 miles north of us. And since we had a vice president of YWAM, Fred Markert, actually officed on our campus, when I called in my threat awareness level that day, I told our security director we need to be at the highest level. And I told him why. It's because of this attack at YWAM 77 miles away, and the fact that if this kid who attacked him was mad at YWAM, he may very well know that an executive vice president officed on our campus. That's why we were on extra high alert. Yeah. Turned out to be the right killer, but the wrong reasons. He wasn't there at all because of Fred Markert.
Well, note to our listeners, when you're involved in situations like this, it's a good idea to start gathering intel because you don't know when it's going to be a critical factor in bringing situations to a resolution or maybe eliminating or reducing the chance that situation's going to occur. So there's kind of thinking outside the box relative to your facility security teams.
Jeff, we've got just about a minute before we need to take another break, but let's run out to the phones real quick and talk to Lou, who's calling from Riverside. Lou, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I wanted to say hi to Dave Williams from when he used to work out at Miami Valley Shooting Grounds.
Oh, hi, Lou.
I'm a young 80 years old nowadays.
Hey, how have you been?
I'm doing fine. I'm still shooting every week.
Oh, great.
Still, of course, got my concealed carry license. And I also just wanted to say hi to you and your family. And I also wanted to tell the guys at Sim Trainer and this working with this radio program that you guys are one of the best things that have come along since, shall we say, sex?
well, I guess we did say
well,
that.
We said it, whether they didn't have time to block it out, but I don't know that we can.
That on the air, but I guess I did anyways.
Yeah.
Well, Lou, thanks very much.
I'm also a retired lieutenant colonel with special ops experience in Vietnam. Yeah. So.
Well, come on down and see us, Lou. I'm down at Sim Trainer now, and I'd love to see you again.
Hey, bless you guys. You got the best program, like I say, around, because the American people today, I'm sorry to say, I guess it's because of my military background, but they are many people out there that are extremely naive.
Right. And we try to set that straight, Lou. And thank you for the call.
Thanks very much for the call. We're going to take our last break for the hour. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
The Miami Valley's only radio station for 24-hour breaking news, weather, and traffic. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Hey everyone, it's Nancy here with my great friend Christian Hahn of Joseph Airport Toyota Hyundai in Vandalia. So Christian, I know we're still in the middle of 2018, but you're thinking next year already, aren't you?
Absolutely. The 2018s need to go. Therefore, at Joseph Airport Hyundai and Toyota, we're doing our clearance now. In August, I have about 450 new Toyotas and Hyundais that we have to clear out with great deals so that we can make room for the 2019s. It's going to be a great month. People who want a great deal need to go to josephairporttoyota.com or airhyundai.com or visit us in our showroom. Either way, you're going to get a great deal.
So I was looking online myself, and you have a huge variety.
It is awesome because we have loads of Sonatas, Santa Fes, Elantras, Camrys, lots of Camrys, lots of RAV4s and Highlanders, all the popular models and trims. They're priced to go at josephairporttoyota.com and airhyundai.com. Come in today.
Here with Hope for Today, lead pastor of Fairhaven Church, David Smith.
Have you ever wondered what God might think of you? I talk to people every day who ask themselves that very question. They often think that God has a certain impression of them as a result of their situation in life, or a decision they've made in the past. The fact is that often assumptions are made without really knowing the facts. You see, the Bible actually tells us exactly what God thinks of us. And right now, we're talking about this very thing. At Fairhaven, we're a different group of people, yet remarkably alike, on a journey with our own stories, brought together by an amazing hope, which we don't have to do anything to earn, but just need to accept. We'd love to have you join us.
Hope for Today with David Smith, lead pastor, with campuses in Centerville, Northmont, and Springboro. For information, visit fairhaven.church. Fairhaven Church. Find hope.
America's oldest welding supply company is now open in Dayton. Family and veteran-owned since 1915, Indiana Oxygen has been serving southwestern Ohio for decades and are a top distributor for Miller, Lincoln, ESAB, and Hypertherm products. Using the most state-of-the-art equipment in the industry, they manufacture their own acetylene and specialty gases and have a fill plant in Cincinnati. Visit Indiana Oxygen, Dayton's newest gas and welding supply company at 3012 Production Court. Indiana Oxygen will treat you like family.
It's the 25th annual Dayton Lebanese Festival, August 24th through 26th. We're famous for our Middle Eastern cuisine and pastries, incredible dancing, plus rides for the kids. We're on State Route 741 across from Meyer in Miami Township.
For today, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers and storms that will continue into the early evening hours. By the time we get a little bit later into the evening, things should begin to calm down. Now for tomorrow, a little bit more sunshine out there, but temperatures are really climbing, 88 degrees for the high and muggy. I'm meteorologist Jesse Mag on the Miami Valley Severe Weather Station, AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
When the Miami Valley gets hit with breaking news, severe weather, or traffic tie-ups, depend on us for up-to-the-minute information. AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, and we have just a few minutes. And right before the break, I was talking with Carl, and I mentioned how his church security team was kind of innovative in the fact that they'd gotten involved in intelligence gathering. And what I felt was very important, before the service, they engaged in praying. And I want you to talk just a little bit about that, how that came about, Carl, and the significance of that and the outcome and just how you think it fits into the overall scheme of things.
Well, it was interesting. Back in 2005, when we first started our program, the elders were going to come together one morning and pray for us. And at the time, like I said, we were running 14,000 people. And we had 12 of us on the safety team. And before we went to church that morning to be prayed on, I was reading in Nehemiah, and it really leapt out at me. Nehemiah 4:9, we prayed to our God and posted a guard. And when I got there that morning, I was standing at the water fountain taking a drink, and the chief of the elders walked up to me, our head elder, who was a very good friend of mine. He said, "Hey, brother," he said, "I was praying and seeking God about this morning," and he said, "I got this scripture that the Lord gave me that I just got to share with you." And he opens up his Bible and he reads to me Nehemiah 4:9. And I told him, I said, "You know, I was just reading that same scripture this morning." So that scripture kind of became the basis for our team, and it's been on every email and business card of mine ever since 2005. And every Sunday at our church and at many churches across the country, the first thing the security team does every Sunday morning is they meet and they pray.
Amen. You know, that's ironic because Greg Stevens, who was the heroic off-duty Garland officer in Garland, Texas, on May 3rd, 2015, at the Draw the Prophet incident, where he shot, again, with his service semi-automatic pistol, he shot two people armed with rifles who fired 30 rounds in his direction. He had a 45 caliber Glock, and he shot both of them dead right there on
That's
the
right.
scene. And he said only seconds before he felt the power of God, God put his hand on his shoulder and pretty much gave him the courage and the guidance and the motivation to do what he's supposed to do, not knowing what was going to happen, because he thought it was a relatively uneventful event until that incident started to unfold.
That's right. Greg says he feels like God put his hand on his shoulder and said, "I'll take care of you. You take care of them."
Absolutely, and that's what God does. He lets the people, those among us who are the sheepdogs, who are the protectors, who are all the warriors, he gives us the courage and the ability to do the things we have to do and to do his will. That kind of leads me to my last point. As I've mentioned so many times, this is the last time we're going to be on the air except for October 13th, and we've got something very important coming up in 74 days now, midterm elections. That being said, I just want to just offer some information. I don't think that I have divine abilities to predict the future, but I was point on during the last presidential election relative not only to the candidate but many of the issues leading up to and after. And it's just based on my constant vigilance to pay attention to what's going on. But I want to encourage our listeners to do a few things. First of all, I want you to stop watching the fake news and turn into WHIO to get your news, and quit all with all the other nonsense, because it's only going to cause you heartache and it's going to make your blood pressure rise. And there's going to be people that are going to argue about things that you shouldn't be arguing about, because there's no data to support the claims. It's just idle claims that are thrown out there. So that's number one. Turn off the fake news. Turn into WHIO when you want to see something, whether it's news or weather, whatever the case might be. Listen to them on the radio and do what you have to do. And make no mistake that if the Democrats gain control of Congress, they're going to, one, push a legislative agenda that's going to be aggressive against your gun rights, and secondly, they're going to move for the appointment of liberal judges that are going to try to change the course of history. We're headed for a good course now. We've got things we got to do, and we can do them. Instead of focusing on the negative, what can we do? Number one, talk to your friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, and get them to get out and vote Republican in the midterm election. Make sure that you join and support the NRA, Political Victory Fund, the other organizations.
Institute
for Legislative Action. Also your national and local Republican Party. Very important that you not only join, but provide monetary support, because they need it, because all kinds of outside entities are pumping money into the candidates here in Ohio to try to get the election to go a certain way. And we have to help offset some of that funding with our own. It's going to be painful, but nothing good comes without a lot of sacrifice. And finally, I want to offer just kind of a lead up to what Carl said earlier. We got to pray. We got to pray to our mighty God that the righteousness will be restored, order will be restored, and we'll get some semblance of where we need to be as a result of our elected officials doing the right things in the next few years.
I think too often we forget that and how important that is. It's not a focus on what's going on here, but there are things that are going on that are much more powerful, and we need to tap into that, and we need to be aware of that. And we need to give it credit where credit is due. I want to thank everyone for being part of the show. We'll see you again in October. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and News 95.7 WHIO.
From our downtown Dayton McAfee Heating and Air Studios, WHIO AM Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station.